Good afternoon. Let us begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Keep your family safe, O Lord, with unfailing care, that relying solely on the hope of heavenly grace, they may be defended always by your protection. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But at your command, I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats, so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him, and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. While you might expect, being familiar with the first reading, "Here am I, send me, Lord, a homily on that phrase. But I think you've probably heard that one often enough that you could give it, hopefully. Hopefully you know and understand those words in your own heart. "Here I am, Lord, send me," because there is so much out there to do. And maybe the single guys in here might be worried because of the gospel that I'm going to preach on their vocation to the priesthood. That's not going to happen either, because honestly, we don't need to preach that. Every time we hear that gospel, there's a lot more going on in there. And God is moving in the hearts of everyone every day, especially those who do not yet know their vocation, in order to know your vocation. So all you single folks out there who don't know your vocation yet, you should be praying about that and God will answer you. And some of you, yes, will be called to be priests. And that's a great thing because the people of God need priests. Amen?
Amen.
So, what should I pray about then? That eliminates the two really popular options. Well, I'm going to go with you're not worthy. This is the once a year hellfire and brimstone homily. No, that's not true. We're not worthy though, right? We say those words right in the Mass. Every time we celebrate this liturgy. Lord, say with me. Because, you know, like the whole thing. You know that part of the Mass where we do this? Right? What do? We kneel and we say what? Right. And what are we saying in there? I am not worthy. And if we mean it, what do we mean? I'm not worthy because I am a sinner. I've fallen short of the glory of God, right? I am a sinner and I need salvation. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, to even be here. The reality is I have failed to be that which you created me to be. I am not worthy. But because we recognize the mercy of God, the love of God, and God's desire to give us all that we need, to make us worthy, to heal us, to help us become that which we were created to be, we say, but only say the words, my soul will be healed. Right? That's the deal right there. I'm not worthy. I recognize my sinfulness, my need for Christ, my need for a Savior, my need for the cross. And He makes us worthy through that cross. St. Joan of Arc, let me give you a few examples here from our communion of saints. St. Joan of Arc felt her need for God so sharply that she would often go to confession every day, and sometimes even more than once a day, just to keep her relationship with God free from even the slightest offense or distance. Wow. Every day, even more than once a day sometimes. St. Maximilian Kolbe said, he could only use one hand to help others in this world, in this life, because he had to use the other hand to keep himself from falling, but that when he reached heaven, he would be able to use both. Aware of his own struggle as a man, as a priest, as a child of God, to live the life he was called to live and to be the person he was called to be in its perfection, as the scripture says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. St. Teresa of Avila, one of the greatest mystics of the church, was, and don't all gasp at once, a mediocre nun until her 40s. A mediocre nun. Wow. What changed for her from being mediocre, lukewarm, going through the motions, doing the right things, but you know, nothing special. No one would have ever called her a Jesus freak. What happened? By God's grace, it was revealed to her what the consequences of her sinfulness and her mediocrity would lead to. The possible eternity in hell, her possible eternity in hell, revealed to her. And that became a great moment of deeper conversion for her and increased her understanding of the importance, the meaning, the purposefulness, and the fruit of doing penance for her sins. Isaiah, Peter, the readings today, Paul, all recognizing that they are not worthy. All of these saints recognizing that they aren't worthy. The saints themselves never cease to recognize themselves as sinners in need of salvation, of grace, of mercy. Because as they grow closer to God, as they grow in relationship with God and come closer to being what God created them to be, come to be in greater and greater possession of that holiness, that sacred set apartness that God wants them to possess, they realize more and more, they're able to see more clearly even the smallest ways that they fail, even insofar as the grace of God has filled them so much. And that answers the question that some people ask when they hear stories like this of Pope St. John Paul II going to confession so frequently, or Mother Teresa. Why would they do that so frequently? What have they got to confess? Because especially in those modern saints that we have lived with, we recognize the difference between them and us in general. And so we think, well, I know my need for confession, generally. I can't imagine what they're confessing. But even them, they know. They are not worthy. They need a Savior. More so than you and I know. Way more so. Bit of a chicken and the egg kind of thing when it comes to how we remedy our unworthiness. I've said before, if we were really reflecting on this, and particularly in those seasons of the church when we are focused on the reality of our unworthiness, and one of those seasons, of course, in a big way, is coming up shortly, Lent, leading to, if we go through Lent really well, in an understanding of this, Lord, I am not worthy and my need for a Savior. If I experience Lent really well, truly, as I am meant to, then I will experience Easter and the resurrection of the Lord in a new and brilliant way, in a life-changing way, every year. Every year. And so then, you would think there would be always long lines for confession, right? His people would be realizing their need. But then someone says, well, priests are never there for confession. But other parishes, it's true. Priests aren't there, or they're only there for 20 minutes before a weekend mass. And so people say, I would go to confession, but there's no priest. Now, every bulletin will say, you can make an appointment with the priest, but we all know how many of you are actually reading the bulletin, right? Yeah. Bless you. That sounded like it came from a statue. Well, look. There's a nice picture over there. Yeah. But part of that reality is, again, chicken and the egg, like I said, if the people, recognizing their unworthiness, were banging on the door of the church, or the rectory, the office, asking for confession, there would be priests showing up to hear your confession. And there would be more priests in the confessional waiting for you for when you come. And of course, as we become holier and holier, all of us, recognizing our unworthiness and changing that by the grace of God, then more and more of us would be able to hear that which God is calling us to. And so there would be more people answering the call to be religious priests, brothers, sisters, and serve the church in that way. It's not that God's not calling anymore. It's a matter of listening and responding to what God calls us to do. And that's true no matter our vocation or whether God is just calling you to be a better parent in your life, a better husband, a better wife, etc., etc. God is always calling us to fulfill His will for us in our lives as part of the whole mission. Lord, I am not worthy, but only say the words. So if we think of this as a revolution, revolution meaning change, revolution in God meaning change for the good, for the better, for constant conversion, for that transformative effect from the graces of the reception of the sacrament of the Eucharist, we could say that it has a couple elements to it. One, no matter how you don't understand, like Peter in this moment, I don't get what he wants from me, but, you know, he's a rabbi, so I'm going to say yes and let him in the boat, and we're going to go fishing again. Even as dumb as you think something might be coming from God, why would God want this from me? If you are able to discern, well, you know, I think this is, you know, like when I was first coming to Florida and I was trying to discern, what do you want from me, Lord? And I had not expected that the call to priesthood would be fulfilled. I'd kind of grown a little wary about that. And I was looking to come back and work in the church in the States. And I said throughout that process, which took several months, talking to my parents about what was going on and the discernment, I said, you know, I think I'm going to end up in Florida. Not that I was applying for any jobs here, not that I had any interest in being here. Sorry. And I did everything I could to find the work I thought God wanted me to do in the area I thought God wanted me to do it. All the while, undercurrent of, I think God wants me to go to Florida. How could God possibly want me to go to Florida? I don't want to go to Florida. You know, and really, that's saying a lot, because I like warm weather way more than I like winter. And my dad said to me one day, well, you know, as we're talking about these things, and it seemed to be getting more so, he said, well, maybe that's where God is going to fulfill your call to vocation to the priesthood. And I thought, well, okay, maybe, because God can do anything, but I doubt it. And, you know, a priest somehow found my resume and what I was looking for. He was looking for someone like me to do something I was capable of doing. And he was really, 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 really insistent. And I was really, really, really trying not to come here. Well, you know the end of that story. I obviously did come to Florida in response to the Lord. The Lord opened all sorts of doors because of that. And very shortly after, I became a priest. And the Lord did fulfill his call in my life, my vocation, to be a priest. None of it made sense at the time. I thought, that cannot be the voice of God to go to Florida. I'm making Florida sound like this awful place, but I just really didn't want to come here. And, you know, it's been awesome. And that's how sometimes God works in our lives. So the one thing we need to be is docile to the will of God, willing to listen, able to discern, and then docile to that voice of God calling us. Really, that's it. And that's true in all those things, whether it's, you know, the big question of vocation or the little ways in which things need to change in my life, sins I need to overcome, problems I need to resolve, forgiveness I need to give, jobs, marriage, all sorts of things. Is including God first and foremost, being humble before him, as we listen and discern and say yes. And just in that, God will make us worthy in little ways every day. And we will become holier. We will become the saints declared in heaven in the future. We will become the unknown saints except in our own little world. We will become the holy people of God that he makes us to be. We will fulfill the will of the Lord. We will glorify him evermore, every day. Lord, I am not worthy. Only say the words, and my soul will be healed. Amen.